Hello, Kelly. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
I have a comment, but put me on the bottom of the list because I'm going somewhere right now and I'm going to be in a very noisy area for the next 10 or 15 minutes.
That'll work perfectly. Okay, very good, ma'am. Okay, anybody else for the net?
Hey, 2BDU, Helmut, and I do have a question.
Okay, 2BDU, very good, Helmut. I have your question noted. Anybody else for the net, please call K2BAR.
W2R, Charlie with a question.
Okay, very good, Charlie. W2R, very good. Anybody else? Call sign name and whether you have a question or a comment. Okay, folks, we have just had, I think, our largest net check-in ever by one or two. All right, very good. A long list of questions, comments, and confusions, I'm sure. All right, Charlie, I'm going to hold your SWR issue into abeyance for a moment. KC2AWX, do you want to restate your two suggestions, Harvey? And we can have a short discussion on that. This is K2BAR.
KC2AWX, named Harvey in beautiful Claremont, New Jersey. And, my first comment is, Monday night was a great exercise. There were some problems where people couldn't contact each other on other repeaters or simplex, but maybe we could try other bands also, say like 10, 6, 2, and 440 sideband. And then you should send everyone an email with the stations that do check in with their capabilities, what frequencies they could operate on. That's my only comment. Keep up the good work, whatever you do. KC2AWX.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, very good, Harvey. So one is we should publish a frequency list, and number two, we should perhaps drill going to other frequencies beyond just the 2 meter band. And then finally, your suggestion would be to come up with a, if you will, a database. And mail it out to the other members as to what capabilities other stations might have. We can do that. We have some of that already assembled, and it's going to get better. I'm actually looking for a database administrator. That's the next task. But all right, I don't want to belabor that, but I will even say no matter how happy or unhappy people were, everybody provided a useful element to the exercise, and I learned from it from everybody, and I'm sure we all learned a lot of different things. We will be doing things like that again, I can assure you. Moving right along, Helmut, I'm going to go to your question next, if you don't mind, because I don't want to turn this into an Aries net session number two for the week. But Harvey, thank you very much for that suggestion. And after we get some of the other stuff done, we can go back to that subject if people have other further comments about it. KA2BDU, K2BAR.
KA2BDU, how do you receive my transmission? Over.
2-5, old man.
Thank you.
Helmut, that was your question? Your beautiful signal. That was your question?
10-4.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we can provide that service. I was hoping to get something interesting. Oh, well. Well, I'm going to get something interesting eventually, no matter how far down this list I have to go. WE2R. Charlie, what's your question? K2BAR.
Okay. Hiya, Gordon and everybody else. I hope I'm making it. That would be my first question. Am I?
I don't want to tell you, because the last guy I said yes, and he left. Yeah, you're Q5. You're a little egg fry on you. No big deal. Like a little sizzle underneath you.
Okay, one of these days I'm going to really get my antenna up. But anyway, I have a Kenwood 570, which I brought up from the basement after sitting on a shelf down there for a couple of years, and it seems to have lost its memory. And the manual, I haven't ever opened it up, says you need to send it back to get a new battery. Do you really have to send it back to put in the battery, or is it worthwhile opening up and fiddling around? The manual is no help on that regard. Back to you, Gordon. This is WE2.
There's a lovely Yahoo groups list on not only the 570 but on Kenwood in general. And my perusal of that over time indicates that it's probably worth your while to send it back, because if it's a few years old, they might have a few mods to do. That you can ask them to bring it up to date with any factory mods that might be outstanding, plus any enhancements that might be worthwhile. That's something to think about. Anybody have any thoughts about upgrading a 570, or more importantly, replacing the battery in the 570 because it's gone stupid on Charlie?
Yeah, K20.
K20, go.
Okay, if you just want to replace the battery, just call up East Coast Transistor. They're the authorized Kenwood parts people. They're in Long Island. You can find them on the internet. East Coast Transistor, you can go on there and find the part number of the battery you need and order it. Bring it to Kit Night and we'll put it in. How's that for a deal?
Okay, do I have it? Yes, that was a comment.
Let Charlie go first, then David.
Yeah, okay, Jim, thank you. I might take you up on that offer, and now that you mentioned it, I think I once ordered a manual for them, so I will note the name, East Coast Transistor, and I thank you for that advice and that offer. Back to Net Control. This is WE2.
Very fine. No problem, Charlie. Go ahead, David. K2DSL, K2B Air.
Yeah, I just went and did a quick search in Google for Kenwood 570 battery. The first thing that comes up is mods for Kenwood TS570, which is on radiomods.co.nz, and it tells you what Radio Shack battery to go get and the steps to replace it yourself if you want to try it.
Charlie.
Okay, well, thank you for that information. Could you just repeat the... where you found that? I wasn't fast enough to write it down.
The easiest way is just go to Google and just do a search on Kenwood 570 battery with spaces in between them, and the first thing that comes up is modifications for the Kenwood TS-570, and the website is www.radiomods.co.nz/Kenwood/KenwoodTS570.html.
Okay, thank you very much. This is WE2.
Yeah, there are a number of interesting things there you'll see, including the Mars Cap mod, which is not a bad thing. As we go into VHF contest season, I'm reminded that being able to transmit out of band doesn't mean that you're going to transmit in an unauthorized fashion. It just means that your IF isn't in an amateur band. It can be a useful thing sometimes. I'm thinking 222 with a 30 megahertz IF as opposed to 28 with a megahertz IF with a 220 output like we had in the old days when we had the whole band. Anyway, there's some benefits to that too. Like you set yourself two transverters side by side, and not have IF bleed through. So that's a good thing as well. So there are other reasons, and of course, you being a yachtsman as opposed to a Scotsman might find it appropriate, Charlie, to have a backup HF radio for your boat. You never know. Anyway. W2R, any other further questions on your concerns about your question?
No, that's it. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the help. And yeah, a lot of radios on that boat. Okay, back to you, Gordon.
I'm so surprised. Does anybody else want to add anything to Charlie's task? Okay, well, thank you, Jim, and thank you, David. That's super. Good stuff. The only thing about the Radio Shack solution is they may not have the battery in stock. You may have to order from them as well, so you might as well order the exact one, no matter ifs, ands, or buts, from East Coast if they have it in stock. In fact, I have a reason to order something from them soon for a couple of radios I have here. Anyway, let's see, at this point, I'd like to turn it over to K2AMI for an operational announcement, and then to K2ZO for a comment that he wants to make. So, K2AMI, we have some operations announcements, I believe, since K2BAR.
I can't imagine everything that you have referenced to, but I'll start with a couple, and that is, I think most of you have received an email from me announcing the demise of NW2B. Jerry's wife, Doris, passed away on Tuesday night. All the arrangements were private. It doesn't limit you, though. If you do see Jerry, please relay your deepest sympathy towards him and condolences on the passing of Doris. She's been a great asset to the VE program and been a member of the club for a long time. That would be my first comment. Is that good, Gordon?
K2KCL repeater.
Fine, I was going to save it for the next break, but I thought you might want to talk about the VHF contest now, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, we're going to try to operate as K2BAR over the weekend, rain or shine or snow or anything else. However, we will not be on the mountaintop. We'll be in elevation of somewhere around 40 feet here at my house, the antenna being 35 feet above ground level, and me being just a short distance above sea level. But I have managed to hook up a 6-meter, 2-meter, 220, and 432 radios and amplifiers, and intend to get them in position so they can be operated efficiently by at least two operators. Unfortunately, I can't invite everybody to operate, but I do have two other VARA members coming. Hopefully they'll get here without the snow problems. And of course, we will be operating on sideband mode most of the time. And I guess if you started with 6 meters, and then you do want to operate upper sideband on 6, around 50.100 to 200, maybe up to 300 even, in that area. So look for us there on 6 meters. Let me drop it. Likewise, on 2-meter band, we will be operating upper side band on 144.100 to 200. We seldom go below 100, but some people sneak down there, and we do make contacts with them. But 100 to 200, and maybe up to 300, look for us again on upper side band in that range. And then likewise with 432 side band, 100 to 200. Generally, and 222 from 100 to 200. Those are the sideband frequencies. Now, you also will be operating FM frequencies, and on FM, the simplex frequency on 2 meters, although Gordon's not happy with it because we're in between the band plan suggested frequencies, we will be operating on 146.570, possibly 5.8. But not 575, which apparently is a band plan frequency. So look for us around there. We will be operating on the 440 FM band on 446000. Let me just drop it. That's 446000 FM on the 440 band. And if you have 220, we'll be at 223500. Now, the last two indicated frequencies are national simplex frequencies, and we'll be listening, and we should be able to hear something in those frequencies. Again, those four bands, those two modes, FM and sideband, and if you don't get us to your very first call, please try again. We'll be operating from 2 in the afternoon until reasonably late on Saturday, and then mostly Sunday afternoon. Because of commitments to church, we probably will not be operating Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon until 11 o'clock Sunday night, with some breaks for coffee and rest and whatever. So look for us. If you miss us the first time, please try again. It'd be nice to have Barra have come up with a significant score. We haven't scored fantastically last year, and a lot of club members that did check in, but we need more. Back to net control.
Okay, very good, Tony. Are there any questions for Tony regarding the contest?
Tony, can you send that frequencies and what you guys are going to be on out to the Barra distribution list?
I could type it up and send that. I guess I could do that. I don't have it handy right now, but I'll try and do that. Good comment. And is that David? David, would you just check to see if you can get into the site? I've had trouble all evening getting into the site. Don't know what the problem is. But yeah, I'll try to send out an email to the stations, to the Barra members.
I'm in it.
There, Gordon. Can I have David repeat his comment again? I missed it.
Yeah, the site seems fine to me. I'm clicking around and all the pages are coming right up.
Thank you very much. I had trouble a few minutes ago. I'll try again. Very good. And if you can continue your work on this site, David, I would appreciate it. Some of the things we discussed, I think, can be finished reasonably well.
I'm on it, sir.
Thank you very much. Back to net control.
Someone done now?
Yes, Gordon, go ahead.
Anybody else want to make an inquiry to Tony? Tim, stand by. Who is the other station?
W2JEK.
Don, then Tim to Tony direct. Go ahead.
Tony, W2JEK, Y14657. That's not the band plan. It's 14655 and 14658. I have to chart it in my little notebook here just for that reason.
Oh, we made the mistake of quoting that on a couple of nets and talking to people about that. It's in the 2-meter band. It's not on the exact band plan, but people on 5-7 or 5-8 will hear us that way. Next year, we'll do it right.
What's up?
Yeah, actually, there's, Don, just for your reference, it's a 15 kilohertz raster in between as well, 5-6-5. All right. Tim?
Yeah, I might be mistaken, but don't we have to have at least four club members present to use the club call sign in the contest, or for any operating for that matter?
I don't know that regulation. I have not heard that.
JEK.
Good job.
I think that having four members requires, if you have a special event station or a special event call, such as K2BAR, they would be a trustee and at least four members of the organization to that is sponsoring that trustee and call. That's what it is. I came about that when W1RFI out here was, they got the call W1FB from for the QRP call there, Doug DeMore's old call, and they had four people make up a club to have the, so they would enable them to get his call as a club call back to net.
That's an interesting question. So W1FB is a QRP club call sign now. That's cute. Alrighty. I remember Doug very well. Interesting guy. Really good guy, actually. Alrighty. Any other questions for Tony regarding the VHF contest, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. K2ZO, your observations and a commentary for the evening, sir. K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. As far as the club station thing goes, I think the number that we're getting confused on is the number of people that need to be in an organization in order to apply a special club call. You know, we have four members there operating in order to use the club call. I'm the trustee, and that's the way I understand it. The other comment I wanted to direct to Don. Don, I have the permits for use of the room, and I'll drop them over tomorrow at the test session. I did not get them until today, so I just want to make you aware that we do have all the permits for use of the room for the test session. Okay. The other comment I had was I just recently been ordering some LEDs, and I ordered an LED flashlight, which is pretty bright. The guys at Kid Night saw it the other night, but I also ordered some replacement lamps for the metal flashlights. They're very common ones. I can't even think of the name of them, but they seem to be pretty bright, and they work very well. But I also ordered from a company called Elite, E-L-I-E-T, L-E-D, one word, .com, replacement bulbs for the, you know, the bayonet-type bulbs, like the number 47 bulbs, made from LEDs. They have three LEDs in them. They're very, very bright. So if anybody wants some LEDs to replace their number 47s or some of the other pilot lights in the old radios, boy, they really are nice. And that's the last bit. Back to you. It's K2ZO.
K2GCL, repeater.
What is the name of the company?
Okay, it's they have a website. It's Elite LED, one word, ELIETLED.com. And they even have LEDs that screw into a regular standard light bulb. Quite surprising, the stuff they have.
Okay, what is the bulb that's used in the Quail Dublier, you know, Ham 2, Ham 3, Ham 4, tail twister, rotator control boxes?
It's a number 47, as I remember, but I better check. The 12-volt version of that is the 1815, which I ordered for my Henry amplifier. But, yeah, they have 12 and 6 and even 28-volt type things. But check it and make sure what it is, and they got it.
Okay, and the 47's what, a 24-volt bulb?
Negative. The 47 is a 6-volt bulb, been around since, like, 1938.
Dope. Yeah, I might share those. Okay. Very good. That's very good. EliteLED.com. Okay. Very fine. Thank you. I'm getting a little concerned about that myself because I don't like a lot of flickering LEDs in my world. By the way, I'm just looking up here today. I guess it was yesterday, but it didn't show up on the FCC website for some reason. Oh, no, it was yesterday. It was today. I'm sorry, the 17th. KC2SRJ is the latest scout from the session that Barra and Fairlawn staffed for the course and the VE team that Don brought. So thank you very much. Joseph passed last weekend. He was one of those boys who failed by one. So chalk up another another ham under 20, let alone under 50. Okie doke. So I will I'll be making a quick phone call in a moment to relay that information. Alrighty, our next topic. Let's see, we've done Harvey, we've done Jim. Kelly, you had a comment you wanted to make for the net, and I'd like to hear what that is, and then we'll go on to SWR issues with N3CRT, I guess. Let's see. So KC2SKL, K2BAR.
I think I know where I went wrong on Monday. Do you remember the simplex frequency that you directed me to?
Off the top of my head, I think it might have been 146.55.
Okay, because I was brainstorming with Noel and Charlie the other night, and they told me that I assumed it was a 055, so I learned on Tuesday that I should have punched in 550.
I'm sure the people on the 146.655 repeater were thinking about you, but my guess is we don't have a close 5655 repeater, to my knowledge, anyway. I'll have to go back and look at that, but okay. Very good. It happened. So, congratulations. You have solved the mystery of the synthesizer, or the operator, or both.
Yeah, I like to learn things the hard way.
Many of us do, Kelly. It's okay. When you fall down, you scrape up your knees, you dust yourself off, you know, get your composure, resume your dignity, and you learn from the experience. So it tends to be more lasting that way. I think all too many times, especially parents today, they don't let their little babies fall down because if the baby falls down, they go boom. They don't want them to go boom. Well, guess what? Your baby's going to go boom even if he is 15 years old. And he's going to remember how not to go boom, and he's going to be smarter about it because he went boom. Such is life. It was constantly with parents in our Boy Scout troop, but it's getting better all the time because we have more and more parents who have a clue. Parents are starting to, should we say, revert to 1950s parenting practices in a 2010 world. It's interesting. An interesting dichotomy. So anyway, let's see what else. Anything further on frequencies and programming radios and such like that for Kelly or anybody else's observations? Please call K2BAR.
K2AMI with information on bulbs.
Yes, sir.
It's not a 47 bulb. I just checked a couple of my rotator controls, and one of the control units uses two 14-volt bulbs in series. This is 28 volts running some of the rotators. Another one uses a GE number, which is unrecognizable, so you'd best check your bulb. I think they vary on a few of the rotators.
Yeah, these boxes are just so much fun to open up. Thank you, Tony. I've got at least two different styles. I've got the metal boxes, I've got some black boxes, so I guess I have my work cut out for me to go figure it out. Well, that's not high on my list right now, but it will be done soon enough. What I don't want, I mean, I'm not a big fan of LED lighting, because I just don't like the quality of the lighting, but once you get past that, I really don't want it strobed. That's the only thing that I just, at the end of the day, just can't deal with. My prosthetic lenses from the cataract operations, do some really funky things. Actually, I can actually catch standing waves passing through the lens. It's really kind of goofy looking. Anyway, I feel like I've got Geordi on Star Trek Next Generation. It's like, wow me, dig the colors. Anyway. All right. Anything else about bulbs, LEDs, and programming your radios? All righty. So, Charlie, tell us what your SWR is, on which band, and at what frequency, and did you take a couple of different measurements at different frequencies?
Well, when I checked it out the other night, let me see here. It's about 2.7, 2.5. I just turned up the power to check. But the other night, last night when I checked it in the basement, I guess when things were dry, it was pretty good. I left my chart in the basement, but both 2 meters and 440 looked just fine. 6 meters still has a problem. Around 1.9 is the minimum I can get all across the 6-meter band.
Okay, but all three coaxes now are in your shack, no longer in the basement, and you're getting what noise of an SWR reading?
Here on 2 meters, I get about 2.5. Could it be due to rain or something to that effect?
Or in this case, snow and ice accumulating on your antenna? Absolutely. Just out of curiosity, though, could also be a frequency excursion. In other words, those antennas were, the 2 meter antenna, I think, was primarily measured at the low end of the band, although it was checked at the higher end. And SWR fluctuated a bit, but generally was higher in the upper part of the band than it was, let's say, 144.2. What is the characteristic you're seeing now? I mean, we're up in the one, you're transmitting at 146.19. I wonder what happens if you transmitted it at 144.200.
Well, I just plugged it in a couple seconds before the net. I worked for about an hour to get everything working, and the rotor is working too and turning. And I'm currently pointed a little bit north and west.
Now you might want to turn your antenna to the south and west, oddly enough, from where you are.
I thought Franklin Lakes was up 208.
Right, which is south and west of here.
When's the last time you looked at a map?
Well, it's certainly west of here. Up 208?
K2GCL repeater.
Yeah, it's definitely north of west. Check a map, M3CRT.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I fall into that trap here in this county all the time. Alrighty. Very good. Your point's well taken. So your SWR is a little high because of moisture. Well, you know, with a T-MASH, that's going to happen.
Okay, well, a little bit later, I'm gonna sweep down low. I can turn the power down and sweep as I transmit. So I'll give it a go and kind of track things. Thanks for the help, N3CRT.
Okay, very fine. Anybody else on frequency have issues with SWR as a function of rain or ice or snow? Well, I'll tell you, you probably do. I'll tell you that right now. I'm looking at my antenna. I mean, it's a little bit, but it's not great. And my phone is ringing. Jim, would you take the next minute? K2ZO, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay, well, we'll be K2BAR for a few. let's see, are there any other checks? other comments.
AWX. The flashlight you were thinking of is Maglite. And if they make a LED for that, I've got about four of those flashlights. I'll have to buy some. Thank you.
Okay, I could not think of Maglite. Thank you, Harvey. Yeah, the site is EliteLED, E-L-I-E-T-L-E-D, one word, .com. And I purchased an LED lamp assembly. It's actually a lamp and a regulator circuit. And I purchased one for my 3-cell Maglite and also for my 5-cell. And they're significantly brighter than the incandescent lamp, and they seem to work very well. And of course, they draw a significantly less current. But if you get on that website, you'll find that there's an awful lot of other very interesting stuff that they have. And of course, one of them is the lamps. And Tony, thanks for the correction on the thing. I did not know what the ones in the CDE antenna rotor wire, but as I thought they were 47s, but I guess you would find out there's something else.
K20MI, that is true. They've had some variations, and they're not 6 volt or 12 volt lamps.
Okay, very good. Well, I bought some 12 volt ones for the Henry, and I purchased them in blue. And these things are three LEDs around the side. Actually, they emit from the side of the lamp, and they're spaced 120 degrees. And they're supposed to be very, very bright. Now, the first generation of those things that I saw, I was not very impressed with. So let's see what these things look when they show up. We'll have to bring them to Kid Night. S2K. Gordon, you back?
Yeah, I'm back on W2TTT.
Okay, go to it.
Alrighty, who wants to make a comment?
And S2K.
Go ahead, James.
Correction on the spelling on the website, ELITELED.com, Elite, or Elite, however you want to say it. LED.com.
Sorry, I was dyslexic.
ELITELED.com?
Correct.
The way I wrote it. Jim, maybe my wife is right. I don't listen.
Yeah, I was dyslexic when I wrote it down here.
Well, if you said it the way you wrote it, I wrote it not the way you said it. Okay. All right. Anybody else with good ideas on one thing or another? Any hints and kinks for the weekend?
Question on antenna.
Yes, Mr. Jim.
Has anyone tried putting radome over just, say, the coupling network on the driven element? On like a Yagi or whatever to reduce, you know, problems with snow or ice buildup.
Yeah, the stepper has.
Yeah, but the stepper is completely radomed. But on a regular Yagi VHF, UHF, that sort of thing.
Now I've actually seen. The KD6KQ, halos, have basically a black project box, which has their matching network built into it. So nothing is outside that plastic box, except for the element itself. And the consequence of that is that, yes, it is much more immune to weather issues.
That is KD6KQ, is that correct?
said that. I think it's KB6KQ. Stand by, I'll look.
Yeah, that looks much better, NS2K.
Now, I spoke with him a couple of, well, about a month and a half ago, and as you see, he's no longer manufacturing due to illness. That's a real life problem. He's able to give technical support for his antennas, but this, in my mind, is the single best, you know, half-wave halo on the market, bar none.
They certainly do look nice.
Well, if you'd like to see a 2-220 and 440 in a stack, they're sitting right here. I can show them to you after the weekend. Somewhere I have a 6-meter one that's still brand new that I have to put together, too. It'd be darned if I know where it is. By the way, he used to manufacture a full-wave 2-meter one, and that required a different phasing arrangement, but I actually have one of those. It's somewhat corroded, uses a quarter-inch, a quarter-wave 75-ohm matching stub that was built inside the box, as well as a little coil bridging the two sides of the feed point. But boy, that was a winner as well. It was just a hair smaller than the 6-meter loop, but it was a full wave on two, and boy, it was just awesome. Anyway, has anyone looked outside at the weather for this evening? Is it still doing the snow thing?
Need a new topic? It's coming down lightly by me, but it looks like it's tapering off.
K2GCL repeater.
Absolutely. I mean, by the way, if someone had the metal fabrication shop and was interested, I don't know if he's going to sell his business or sell the designs, but boy, this is the only halo design, by the way, that Directive Systems liked, and they, even though they didn't manufacture them, and that Ace Microwave liked, for all the reasons you'd want to, you know, have a favorite halo. And the only reason why I have M-squareds on my truck right now is because that's what I could get in a hurry when I was on my way to Florida a couple of summers ago. It was just awful, because the other ones were in storage, and the 6-meter one still is. I have no idea where it is. And yes, we could use another topic, Mr. Tim, W2VVV, K2BAR.
Sorry, Gordon, it's not snowing anymore. You will have to go to school in the morning.
Oh, I wrote a letter to my son's principal saying he's going on a college visit to the United States Naval Academy. Keep in mind he's in sixth grade, and keep in mind that the principal is a retired Army officer, so I expect all sorts of, shall we say, interesting teasing next time I see him. Anyway, Tim, go ahead.
Well, I didn't really have a topic. I was just wondering if that's why you were asking what the weather was like.
Yeah, okay. You're not helping. That's not shilling for the net control, you know.
Well, I guess one interesting thing I was started talking to Mitch, W2MSK, about. I just started working PSK-31 a little bit, and just got my station set up to operate and turn on the radio and get everything set up and start monitoring on 20 meters, and who's the first person I see calling CW? My first PSK-31 contact was Mitch, W2MSK. Pretty funny. But we were talking about, I don't know how many people on the net do those digital modes. I was kind of curious to see how many do. But we were talking about the signal reports that we give. People give what seems to be like an RST signal report, but it isn't. It's something that I've seen it called PSQ, RSQ. I guess first of all, I'm wondering how many other people have tried PSK-31 or 63, I think, is the other one.
Well, I've operated a little bit, and I thoughtlessly have given out the traditional signal report without much thought, but I had other fish to fry, like making sure I made the contact at all. Dave, haven't you made PSK-31 contacts?
Affirmative. I made one with you. Yeah, I get on quite a bit. It's RSQ reports. It's readability, signal strength, and quality. You're supposed to let them know if they're over-modulating, you know, if their signal's too wide and they're putting out sidebands. Oh, excuse me, I got a scanner on the background. Yeah, it's, PSK is a lot of fun. I'm mainly on RIDI now. I'm getting involved in that. And I'm playing around with a lot of interfaces with the new rig I have here. So I'm got a, right now I'm trying to hook up a voice keyer from the contesting program I have for the 6-meter contest or the VHF contest. So. But I get on PSK every so often, and RIDI mainly. So back to you.
Okay, very good. Anybody else have some experience they'd like to share with Tim?
WE2R.
Charlie.
Yeah, I'm just recalling before I put the rig away several years ago, and just simply put, I enjoyed the PSK-31 very much. It was just like, sort of like RIDI, plain simple chatting, sort of like CW with the keyboard. I look forward to getting hooked up on PSK-31 again. It was a very enjoyable mode. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, very fine. It's interesting. By the way, the answer to the question is snow, chance of snow on Saturday and then plummeting to about 16 degrees in the city on Saturday night. So, Tony, you're going to get to test that rotator grease. No problem. Okay. Anybody else with PSK-31 or similar digital mode experience, please call. All right. Well, my experience has been rather limited, I must confess, Tim. And, in fact, that's somewhat a source of embarrassment because I need to, like, just focus and get either of my rig blasters attached to the two radios I have in mind for them and get on with it already. But, alas, I've been delinquent in getting that done. So we will see. But, in any case, It's a whole lot of fun, that's for sure. What do you use for an interface, just out of curiosity, Tim?
I use a Tigertronics sound card interface, which I've used the rig blasters, and I honestly think this one is probably the better bang for your buck. I think it works just as well, if not better, although you are using your sound card. But yeah, I would encourage anybody looking to get into digital modes, try PSK-31. I'm kind of partial to it because it's what I've done research in VPSK communication. This is the first time I really got around to using it, but it's a very efficient mode. In fact, if you use any more than like 30 or 40 watts probably at most, it'll overdrive your radio and overdrive the signal and get a lot of intermod distortion. Just as a testament to that, last weekend after working Mitch, I was putting out about 5 watts, I couldn't get my rig to go down any lower than that. And after that, I worked a station in Cuba, one in France, another in Germany with just right around 5 watts. So it's a pretty cool program as well, the DigiPan program is what I use. You can see all the other PSK-31 conversations, the QSOs going on up and down the band simultaneously while you're on one frequency working another. So just getting started with it, and I'd recommend people to try it out. This is W2VVV.
could pick up another 817 in the future, or perhaps one of those little SDR toys. I bought my Rig Blasters 3.5 years ago. I've had them connected, and now they're not. I forget how to make them all work, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I need focused time to do that. They're each sitting there with their cables staring me in the face, one on one hook, one on the other hook, hanging by their cables, of course. And one's going to go with the 7000 in the portable box, and the other one's going to go, at this point, probably on the Pro 3 or maybe even the 46 Pro, we'll see. But I need to get that done at some point. It's, as I said, embarrassingly stupid. I think today I would probably opt for something that's a fully integrated USB solution, including an external sound card, where you have the whole sound transformation done externally, and then the USB interface to provide both radio rig control and also sound communications. But anyway. All right. And I think the Tigertronics offers that, if I recall. So we shall see. Way too many wires in this wireless world here. So, anything else on the subject, please call K2BAR.
NJ1W.
Dave Kent?
Yeah, all the stuff you're talking about, it's really simple enough to build yourself. It's I made the rig interface. I have rig control. The computer controls my rig and works for the contesting programs also. It's the ICOM interface. You just have to convert your computer signals, the voltages, the 10 and 12 and minus 12 volt signals down to a 5 volt TTL signal for the rig control. And all you need is a couple of transistors for that. I think about $5 worth of parts. I have full control in single sideband, PSK. I have FSK keying on RIDI. I have the push-to-talk keying. And I didn't have to add any additional ports, really. I was able to use my parallel port as an additional port. And in addition to the serial port, the DB9. And it's really very simple interfaces. There's really nothing magic in them. The most complicated part was the one-to-one transformers. And I just stole them out of a couple old computer modems. They all have the one-to-one transformers in them. And if you don't have that, Radio Shack has the one-to-one transformers. I think they're $3.99. So.
Repeater, sign out. Repeater, reset. No Alpha Hotel, please. K2GCL, repeater.
Yeah, I got the end of that. But yeah, the Signalink is a third company. Tigertronics, Signalink, and of course West Mountain Radio are the three major ones. And then, as you said, you can build up most of the stuff out of a handful of components and use the serial and parallel port that exists on your rigs or your computers as it is. Well, one of the problems I had was one of my computers didn't have any serial ports, which was interesting in itself. But basically what I'm looking to do at this point is marry up the portable rig with the Toughbook and the 56 Pro or the 46 Pro with either my desktop machine or or my other laptop, my serial portless toy. So we'll see, we'll get through that. Part of it also is doing way too much with existing computers. And they already have some of the ports assigned with drivers for other things, so you have to decide what you're going to use and how it's going to work and interact. Right? So you can run out of available port assignments on your soft USB COM ports. But anyway, that's for another day. Anybody else with comments on working PSK31 or the like? Okay, W2VVV, back to you for your closing comments on the topic. K2BAR.
Yeah, very good. NJ1W said there. Doesn't take much to get on. And all you really need is a sound card and some isolation and a voltage divider. And you can get on, most computers should have sound cards in them, so it doesn't take much and it's a lot of fun. And also, you're not necessarily limited to PSK31. You know, there are plenty of other modes you can use that use sound card interfaces. But that's about it, and I'll plan on using it some more. This is W2VVV.
Yeah, my guess is 50.290 and the corresponding 2-meter frequency will be hopping this weekend with PSK31 and the like traffic. Alrighty, any other topics, anything people would like to bring up for the net, please call K2BAR. On, go ahead.
You collect signal electric telegraph case?
No, but I might be tempted to.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how old the one I have is. This is a, I believe this is a model R48, which is a standard key. It's not the heavy spark key that they used. The spark key was R62, R63, R64, which I, and the only difference in them was the size of the contacts. They sort of had 3/8-inch contacts, I think. The heavy-duty amperage of the spark transmitter pulled back when, but and that had a different base than the R48, and then the M100 is the same as an R48, I think, except it's got a circuit closing lever. Curious if anybody knew how to date those things.
Okay, what was the signal electric model number again you wanted to look up? R48?
That's correct, R48.
Yeah, I'm not finding a lot on that. I mean, I entered signal electric R48, and I'm not seeing Jack Diddley Dong about it. That's kind of disappointing. At least not on the on the easily found web pages. Maybe I should put R48 key. And I just made it worse. Oh, yeah, the word key, all of a sudden all sorts of other things popped into the frontal lobe of the search engine. Alrighty. No, we'll have to approach this another day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I've been some playing around on the internet with the thing, and some of my other keys, I've got a couple. I got a Lionel key that was the J38 that they made during the war, and a Bonnell flame proof, a CJB26003. It's a flame proof key. I know that's a World War II vintage someplace. I just trying to date this one that I have because it's the one I use most of the time, and there is a number underneath it, but it molded into the base, but I have to find out who knows what those numbers are. Anyway, I'll have to continue working on the internet. Thanks again. Back to net. W2JK.
You raised an interesting subject. The flame-proof key, I guess what they do there is that they isolate the contacts in either a vacuum or a closed chamber?
Yeah, I believe something like that. Probably a rubber gasket or something just to keep the fumes out of the way of that sparks.
Yeah, nothing's worse than having something explode.
Comment?
Pat Harvey.
I think for John's query, the name Pete Lavacy comes to mind.
No, thank you, Harvey. Yeah, I have his calling card here in my shack. I've looked at his website already, and I'm still doing some research on it. This is a key that I've had before I was a novice, which is 1951, and I don't know how old the thing really is.
How old were you when you got your license?
16.
You were 16 in 1951?
Roger.
fooled me, buddy. Boy, you're more of a spring chicken than you admit to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Seriously. Don, I had no idea you caught me off guard with that. Wow. I am impressed. I am very impressed. Well, okay. I would not have said you were a septuagenarian. That would not have been on my list. But, you know, what do I know? Anyway, this is kind of an amazing thing. You good? Boy, good for you. All righty. On that note, anybody else have any other comments? Yeah, gee, Richard, we're hearing you now, but boy, you sound cruddy. Did you say stand by, Richard? Richard, you're not making it for whatever reason. I don't think you're on 7-9. Are you on 146-7-9 and transmitting on 146-1-9? Okay, well, Richard sorts that out. Anybody else have any other topics for the net? Please call K2BAR.
That's K2BAR.
Go ahead.
It's Tony. I'm sorry, I didn't give him a call. Just Don didn't mention tonight, but there is a VE session tomorrow at 7 o'clock up at Westwood High School. W2JEK is the VE head of the VE, Barrow VEs will be there. And a number of the VEs that are available should show up also. So there will be a test session tomorrow night at the Westwood High School, Friday night.
Excellent, excellent. W2JEK, you want to say any words about that?
Not a W2JEK. Yeah, I've had three people inquire about it. One fellow, I think, coming over from Brooklyn, used to live in Bergen County. I think he went to Tech. One fellow looking for an extra, and I think another fellow looking for a tech also. So if we have three that call in, we would have three more that don't call in, so we might have some action there. Back to that, W2JK.
K2GCL, repeater.
Okay, very good. Well, if you guys hear KC2SRJ on the air, if you hear any of these new KC-2 Sierras, they're all going to be relatively new, starting with Ms. Kelly SKL, and we have a bunch of other ones following. So make sure when you hear these folks on the air in particular that you go out of your way to greet them and be sociable. I mean, even Richard, KC-2PYB, he's been licensed for a bit, but he's relatively new. Mike, KC2SNR, really make a point of answering these guys when you hear their call signs and of course Al, KC2SAV, make a point of answering them when they drop their call signs on the repeater, because they're looking for some contacts, you know. This is all new to them. I mean, those of us have been licensed for, you know, well, in my case, 30 years, you know, which is like, means like next to, let's say, Jim and Don, I'm a kid, but you know, I'll be 50 soon, guys. I promise. I can be part of the Old Farts Club next month. At the March meeting, you can harass me about being a member of the Old Farts Club, meaning I'm over 50. Anyway, but you can't at the February meeting because my birthday's after the meeting. So anyway, just amusing to say the least. Anyway, so. You know, make a point of greeting these folks when they get on the air. Any other questions, comments, confusion, any of these new hams or anybody else want to say anything before we call it a day?
W-H-C-A-I.
KC2SAV.
Okay, KC2SAV first, and then we're going to go to George. W-H-C-A-I after that. Go ahead. KC2SAV, W-2-T-T-T.
Yes,
like from the battery to the radio. I know I spoke to someone from Fairlawn, but someone in the area or someone that you recommend?
What, to do stereo connections in a car?
Put a Kenwood 2-meter radio in.
If you really don't want to do it yourself, call WA2CRF. Rush, you call me out and I'll point you to WA2CRF. He has a business that does custom installs around Bloomfield Avenue in Bloomfield or Montclair, someplace down there.
Very good. Thanks. Appreciate that.
And Jack does excellent work. His people do, too. But, you know, there are plenty of people here who would be happy to do it, too, probably. We'll see. But, you know, I know there are guys who are really, really good at, shall we say, vehicular electronics. And particularly after this weekend, they might have some spare cycles to work with you on that. So that's another alternative as well, if you don't want to spend money. All right. I guess we'll deal with that. Thank you, Al. And, yes, George, WA2CAI, K2BAR.
BAR, WA2CAI. I don't know who you've mistaken me for, Gordon. My name's Adolf.
Oh, okay. No problem. You know, net controllers just have the toughest time copying your name and call properly.
Gordon, can I ask you in all seriousness, when I checked in the other night, did I identify my name and call sign clearly?
Yes.
That's all I wanted to know. You know, I'm very careful to enunciate my name and call sign, give the phonetics on the name. But he always gets it wrong. Oh, I was discussing this issue with someone else, and they made the comment, well, why don't you check in with Gordon's calls next time?
Yeah. Well, oddly enough, everybody has their moments, and I you know, and go figure this. Tim got his call in correctly, and his name recognized the first time, I think, last night. So, you know, there's an opportunity space there. So, you know, have faith and be patient.
I don't want to be cruel, but I do reserve the right to harass.
Well, thank you, Adolf George Thomas, whoever you are, WA2CAI. W-T-T-T-T. All right, we'll move right along here. Anybody else? K2BAR.
N3CRT.
Yes, Charles.
I was quickly looking up here on, wow, my SWR went down. Weird. It's now down below 2 to 1. It's got to have something to do with water. Well, I did change the barrel connector that goes through the piece of plywood to the outside world. But I had a question on T matches on a beam. I have M squared beams, and I can't find any of my books for them. And I'm trying to search on the internet. This antenna looks really great down at the low end. And if I could shift the low SWR point up in frequency a little bit. Does anybody know which way I would have to move the T-match? Does it make logical sense to move the T-match in to raise the resonant frequency?
In would seemingly be the right answer, but I'm not sure. K2ZO, what do you think, Jim? K2BAR. Good Lord, we've actually outlived Jim's net patience. Anybody else have some thoughts on this question?
M Square is still in business, Gordon. Why don't you call them up tomorrow? They probably even have an 800 number.
Yeah, Charlie, why don't you do that?
I was trying to incite thoughtful reasoning and discussion on the net. And I wanted to know, but I can call them tomorrow. And hello to you, Tom. N3CRT.
Where is it, Adolf George?
George Adolf.
George Adolf, sorry. Actually, we'll just call you Gat.
Just a simple Hans will do.
No, we don't want to get you confused for Helmet.
He confused me with him. He's got a very distinctive accent.
We can work on yours. I mean, basically, you look the same.
I'm old.
No, I didn't say you sound the same. You could work on that, but, you know, I mean, there's a certain similarity in form factor.
Forget it. I am nowhere near him. I surpassed him in form factor.
Well, whatever works for you, buddy.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, man, hold on. Let me get my other sneaker out of my teeth. All right. Anything else from anybody, please? K2BAR.
Glad I'm keeping you laughing, at least.
K2AMI is called NS2K. Is he still on the net?
NS2K?
As soon as the net is over, would you hang around? I'd like to call you, speak to you about something.
Will do, Tony.
Okay, very fine. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or confusions for the net tonight? And by the way, I have not laughed and giggled this much during a net, during one of these tech nets since we started. I'm really finding this rather amusing tonight. It may not be as professional as we'd like, but by God, is it amusing.
If we can't have fun, what can we have? Anyway, Gordon, I don't want to brush the fellow off asking its question about the team match on the M Square, but I always found those people very cooperative. We used a lot of M Square antennas in the Big Dig Tunnel, and when questions like this came up, I always got a good answer from them, and a correct answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Alrighty, well, I think we have milked the cow to the point where it won't even give milk tomorrow. So I want to thank everybody for participating. I encourage everybody to get your, yourself, your buddy, whoever, down to the test session tomorrow night at Westwood High School in Washington Township at, I believe, 7 o'clock. Make sure you get on the air between 2 o'clock on Saturday and 11 p.m. Sunday. If you are going to be a rover and start grid looping over in Riverville, make sure that you work people other than K2BAR. You must be in a couple other logs. I think it's 3 or 4 other logs. Otherwise, people will get grousey about that. And what else? But if you just happen to be driving through wherever you are and you're only here in one log, that's fine. So, feel free if you're in FN20 or FN30 and you can work Tony and his merry band. That's great. Do that. And last but not least, make sure that anybody with a KC2 Sierra call deserves a pro forma response, no matter what, of greeting and salutation and engaged conversation should they drop their call and any of the repeaters or any frequency happen to work for at least the next year. And we'll follow that with the KC2 Tangos shortly. On that note, I'm going to bring the net to close.
K2GCL repeater
is our sponsor, the Bergen County FM Association. We encourage all members of the net or users of the net to consider supporting the repeater club as well. And you can always see, I believe it's WB2AIU again for that as well. I think he's the treasurer of that club. So you're more than welcome to support our sponsor, as it were. And the Bergen Amateur Association thanks you for your participation tonight. And the station, W2TTT, wishes to thank NJ1W, NS2K, S3CRT, N2CMV, KC2AWX, and K2ZO, KC2SAV, K2AMI, KB2ESC, KC2PYB, KO2OK, W2JEK, W2VVV, K2DSL, KC2SNR, KC2SKL, K2BDU, and last but not least, WE2R for their gracious questions, comments, confusions, and check-ins. And we'll see you next Thursday at 9 p.m., if not over the weekend. This is K2BAR, W2TTT Gordon, signing clear and restraining the repeater to normal amateur use. Good night, gentlemen, and lady and gentlemen.
Gordon, what am I, chopped liver?
And WA2CAI, you know, you never checked in. That was what the problem was. You just kind of like always there. You have made it 19 people checking in. We are a total of 20. That's the largest check-in ever. Thank you, Thomas, Adolf, George. No, George Alpha, George Adolf, George Adolf Thomas, Gath, Hans, Gath. Now we're up to Gath. Gath, C-A-I, W-2-T-T-T, off and clear.